Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef. Hassel Cattle Company is the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu beef in the country. Hassel Cattle Company is a fourth-generation cattle farm out of Texas. They ship all over the beautiful USA and straight to your door. They call their beef the blue-collar Wagyu. Why? Because it's the best damn Wagyu that every man or woman can afford. Hassel Cattle Company offers Wagyu smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Frank, two jerky flavors, original and sweet and spicy, and their hamburger even won the Food Network's Northeast Burger Jam. Not only do we love their beef, the country loves their beef. Everybody wants to get in on this. These guys take their registered bulls and breed them with Angus cows, giving you that very high prime product that is grown with zero antibiotics or hormones. So head to HasselCattleCompany.com, that's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com, and use promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order, plus any orders over $200 get you free shipping. Again, use code DNVR10. Check them out today, and we promise you will not be disappointed. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haveley and Blaze Hunter once again, as we got another snake draft coming at you. This one, we're going for the best teams in the NHL since the 2005 lockout. Things get a little wonky if you go before the 2005 lockout.
He says wonky, and it's really just Rudo and I were children.
Yeah, well, not only were we children, so, like, we didn't live through those eras and don't have, like, direct connections, but also, if you go before, especially before the 90s, you end up with a bunch of, like, dynasty-level teams.
Yeah.
That it's like, I guess you just pick 4 years of the Oilers and then 4 years of the Islanders, and that's like half of our draft. So we didn't want to do too much of that. So we're going after the lockout.
Maybe that'll be 2000s. Tomorrow's snake draft. We'll do eras.
There you go.
Like the Sakic Forsberg Avs, the Yzerman Fedorov Red Wings. Yeah. The Datsyuk Zetterberg Red Wings, the Crosby Malkin Penguins, the Yager
Mario. Yeah,
thank you. I'm like, what's the other superstar's name? the Yager Lemieux Penguins and the Gretzky Oilers. Those dynasty teams, you know, the Mike Bossy Islanders. That could be fun. We could do dynasties.
That would be an interesting one. But today we're focusing on the best teams since 2005. So going to be interesting. I'm curious to see where you guys rank some of these teams. If anyone wants to get a little bit creative, or if you're going to be boring like me and just pick a bunch of Stanley Cup winners, but
so far, my list is teams that have won the Stanley Cup. I imagine we will take them from each other, and we'll have to start digging into the bag of tricks.
I mean, it's hard, right? Because that's like what everyone's shooting for. Like, how can you be like, well, this team's the best team of that year? I guess if you have a really good regular season, just, you know, basically shit the bed in the playoffs, then
13-14 Avalanche.
Well, and that's where the conversation about the 18-19 Tampa Bay Lightning is going to be interesting.
Yep.
Over 82 games, they have the best regular season that we've seen. They won 62 games. They went 62-16-4.
Yeah, that's insanity.
And then got swept in the first round.
Yep. And then won 0 games in the playoffs. So how do you balance all that?
All right.
You know?
Okay. Are we ready to get into it? I don't even know who's drafting first. Okay, apparently I'm drafting first. Let's go. All right. So I struggled with my first, which one I was going to put at the top. But ultimately, I'm going with the 1920 Tampa Bay Lightning. Not this current one, but their first cup of these two.
You said 1920, and I was like, bro, we said nothing before 2005.
The 1919 Montreal Canadiens.
I was like, what the hell, bro? We just laid out the rules, you cheat-hole.
The Lightning were a team back then. All right.
I think this is the best iteration of the team for a couple of reasons. One, unlike the year before, they didn't get eliminated in the first round. They managed to do the thing. Two, in the regular season, you got to see a significant amount of Kucherov and Stamkos both playing on the team at the same time. Although Stamkos was injured during the playoffs and the second half of the season, they still managed to win the cup. Stamkos played, I think, a grand total of 3 minutes in those playoffs. He scored a goal in those 3 minutes, but that's all that he played. Obviously, Vasilevsky cementing himself as perhaps the best goaltender in the league in those playoffs as well. That team is just absolutely monstrous. It's a team that's been trying to get over the hump for a while at that point, and they were just too good to not take as my first overall pick, basically.
I mean,
left them speechless.
No issues with a good but not great regular season.
I guess I should say from the jump, a lot of the teams I targeted, the tiebreaker for me came down to playoff performance.
Yeah, Kucherov did have a like monstrous year though during the regular season, and
he won the Hart
70 games. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, because let's face it, these Tampa Bay teams, especially that year, intentionally coasted during the regular season. There was an intent to the way they played, and they didn't go full bore for the entire regular season.
Yeah, like that team, they played 70 games, and they went 43-21-6.
Yep.
And they just smoked everyone in the playoffs, didn't they? They, like, it wasn't even close for any of those games.
Yeah, I think only like Dallas took them to 6 in the Cup Finals, right? And that was about it. They swept Columbus with that 5 overtime game.
Yeah, they went 4. They went 4-1, 4-1, 4-2, 4-2. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it was pretty comfortable for them throughout after they got through the 5 overtime game. Which was really like the hump that they had to bust through.
They pretty much laid their demon in that game. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of a common theme that you'll see throughout a lot of cup winners, man, is that there's one really big roadblock that that gets dropped in their way, and it's like, all right, do they got it or not?
Yep. I'm sure we'll talk about a few more of those in this draft, but yeah. That Tampa team is the best one of the – are we calling this the modern era? I guess the post-lockout era.
Yeah, we'll call it post-lockout era. I always have a hard time calling it, like, modern.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, 2003 when I was in high school, not modern at all, you know.
Right. So
– It's after they got rid of the, like, two-line pass rule and, you know, all yep. that nonsense.
The really end was. Of the dead puck era.
It really was nonsense, man. The two-line, that rule, the two-line.
Yeah. I
hated that.
You hate
offense. The first thing I turned off in every video game. Nope, not doing that. I'm firing outlet passes wherever I want.
New Jersey and the trap system. They were so good at it. Oh, my God. It was so boring to watch.
It would be interesting to see how well that would hold up now with teams trying to stretch teams out a little bit more.
Well, you'd have to introduce the two-line pass rule again, right, to make it work. Like,
no, I'm saying I want to see how those Jersey teams defend now.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Do they trap at the blue line instead, I guess? But...
yeah. Yeah.
All right, AJ, you have the second pick in this one.
Okay. I am going with 2015-16 Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
This was the first of their back-to-backs. And I just thought that their penalty kill was good. Their power play was okay. But this was a team that just found a way to get the job done. Like, they had a 104-point regular season. Very good regular season. They weren't even close to first place in their division because that was during that Caps run where the Caps just went off in the regular seasons. But what I think was most impressive was their playoff road was not easy. Not at all. They went through, in the first round, they went through the New York Rangers. And you remember we forget now because the Rangers have been rebuilding for the last few years. But those Rangers teams were an absolute pain in the ass in that the whole middle of the 2010s.
Yep.
The Rangers were just, they were such a hard out for everybody. Good defensively, good goaltending. Ugh, they were brutal. And Pittsburgh went 4-1 on them. And then they went against that Caps team, that 2016 Caps team that had a 120-point season and won 56 games and went 4-2 on them. So now they've gone through two of the best teams in the East already. And they turn around and they have to take on Tampa Bay in the conference finals. And now they did not, it wasn't like they housed Tampa Bay. They got through it in seven games. And there were a lot of close games. They had two overtime games, two regulation one goal games. Very close series. The largest discrepancy on the scoreboard was a 5-2 game in game six. So, yeah. And even that was a little, that was a 3-2 game halfway through the third period. So even that one was a close game, but got through in seven and then smoked San Jose in the finals 4-2. Which did not, if you guys remember watching that one, did not feel like a 4-2 series.
It was never close, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just look at their lineup, right? Obviously, everyone knows Crosby and Malkin as their 1-2, but their lineup at that time also had Phil Kessel super strong. They had Chris Letang as a healthy player that year.
Yeah. who, guess what, when he's healthy, point per game guy.
Yep. He was a monster. And then Patrick Hornquist was still young enough that he could be an effective player as well. And even their veterans and guys like Bonino, Kunitz, and Cullen were effective producers for them. So,
yeah, I mean, when you're rocking Crosby, Kessel, Malkin, Hornquist, and Kunitz as five of your top six, you're doing just fine.
Feeling pretty good.
Would you say the Penguins are a dynasty of the modern era?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have I think so.
With them in Chicago, right? Are the
closest.
Yeah. Well, Tampa is like right on the verge of it as well. So.
Oh, I think Tampa Bay should. I think Tampa Bay belongs because, like Tampa Bay, if you go and look at their seasons, like that's an organization that they get deep. It's not like they just get smoked. You know, okay, well they have great regular seasons and they're out in round one or two. You know, they have done a great job throughout their time. I mean, they. You know, they lost like the cup finals in 2015, and then they were in the conference finals, and then they lost, and then they missed the postseason entirely because that's the NHL, and then conference finals, and then that unbelievable team that got swept, and then they won two Stanley Cups in a row. Like over the last 10 years, like they have two first round losses and a missed postseason. But three cup finals, two of which they won, and two conference finals, that's a lot of hockey to be played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I hard to argue against that for sure. That's certainly an interesting topic to get into, dynasties and eras tomorrow, perhaps. But for now, Blaze, your first round pick is up.
Yes, this one's kind of hard. So, like, luckily this is a snake draft. So I'm just gonna go with this one, and I'm just gonna live with it. I'm gonna go with the, 11-12 Kings.
Ugh.
Not my favorite team in the world.
But like, such a great story, right? Like, not having the greatest of seasons that year, but then come into the playoffs as the eighth seed in the West, and not just hang with teams, blow every team out of the water on their way to the Stanley Cup. I think, they went Canucks 4-1, Blues.
Yeah, and that was that 4-1 series was really, really close.
Yeah, but still, they pulled it out. They swept the Blues. I don't know. Do we know what that feels like? Do the Avs know what that feels like?
I feel like we're finding a lot of Blues on the wrong end of some things.
I don't think anyone's picking Blues teams in this draft.
The craziest thing about that year was the Western Conference Finals. Who was the team that they played in the Western Conference Finals that year?
Phoenix.
The Yotes in the Western Conference Finals. They got smoked. 4-1, and then
I mean, again, a closer series than it looked on paper because a 2-1 game three was a 2-1 game for the Kings, and game five was an overtime win. So those are coin flip games that very like could have absolutely gone a different way.
And it's funny too, is like Dustin Byfuglien was, or not Byfuglien, Brown was like just a monster that year as well.
Played out of his mind in the playoffs especially, but and it's not like they still had their superstars that were more in their prime too, like Kopitar. Doughty was just coming into his own a little bit at that point.
Doughty
was leading like in points, I think, during the playoffs that year, or like was second or third or something along those lines.
They also had the Flyers cast-offs. They had both Mike Richards and Jeff Carter before they smashed into the different walls.
Yep.
You know, they had Justin Williams hanging around. Like, that was a team that you looked at and you were like, how did you guys, like, sneak into the postseason?
I mean, they barely did. So,
yeah.
I think it was Calgary, right? Yeah, Calgary was the other team that was right on the bubble there.
They certainly embodied the, if you're in the playoffs, you got a chance as well.
Yeah, the Flames were the ninth seed.
Yeah, 5 points back, so I guess it wasn't super close.
Too close, yeah.
But anyway.
All right. Before we get to Blaze's fourth pick, Breckenridge Brewery. Thinking about that Kings team definitely makes me want to drink. So
a cup that everybody remembers, but not fondly.
Yep. Unless you're a Kings fan, basically. Yeah.
You're a Kings fan. It's the greatest thing ever.
Hit up your local liquor store. Get yourself some Breck Brew or some Good Company hard seltzer. Both are absolutely delicious. I love their beer. So be sure to check them out. You can also get them on tap down at the DNVR bar. They're great. We love them. Go get them. And then hit up Ball Arena. Maybe you need a little bit of beer spending cash. Ball Arena is currently hiring for their plant in Golden. You can text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com. Either way, you can get yourself an application and hooked up with them. They're a really good employer. They give you a living wage. They give you decent benefits, all of those types of things that, you know, good employers should give their employees. Generally like that. They do a bunch of cool stuff as well beyond just making cans and the like. They also are in the aerospace industry and a bunch of other stuff as well. So be sure to check them out today. Get yourself some spending cash so you can buy a membership to the DNBR. The annual membership right now gets you a bunch of bonuses, whether it be big beers at the bar, access to the DNBR lounge, obviously access to all of our content, a bunch of other stuff as well. So check us out. Consider giving a membership, help supporting us and all of our cool content. Buy a couple shirts from this guy down here. Him and D-Line make all of our awesome shirts. So
do it.
I don't know. I haven't. We gotta figure out which shirts we're coming out with next season. I guess we'll play it by ear a little bit. But
you're so glad all those three-headed monster ones are good to go.
Yeah,
that would have been such a bummer.
Yeah, three-headed monster and Man Rocket. Like, come on.
I've been talking to Eric about a few ideas that I have had. They might have to be released under D-Line and not DNBR because one of them's like right on the border of like, I think people will love it, but it might also be disparaging for one person on the team.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say.
So if you're into that, keep your eyes peeled on D-Line's products as well.
We'll talk. We'll share it.
To know more about this.
Who knows? Who knows when it comes up? Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Blaze, your second round pick.
Yes. All right. This is the one that I was like teetering on, but the whole reason that this one's going second is because AJ picked the Penguins, the 15-16 Penguins. I'm taking the 16-17 Penguins, the back-to-back year, right? So, like, that, again, that year was awesome. Another heavy, heavy Washington Capitals team. I think they won the President's Trophy that year. And then the Penguins came out and just stomped them in the – well, they didn't really stomp them. That actually was a really good series. I believe that was a – 7-game series that was just a hard-fought game, which you love to see, right? That was like the era of Sidney and Ovechkin. Just, you know, there was like dirty shots being taken at each other all the time. And just there was like some who's going to be the best player of this era type stuff going on. Kind of at the winning part of it.
That was actually a 3-1 series lead for Pittsburgh that they very nearly coughed up.
The other reason that I like this team too is Gensel shows up that year. Was that his rookie year?
I think so. Yeah,
I believe it was. Yeah,
because he wasn't on the 15-16 team.
Yeah,
but he played for my uncle at Omaha, and he was talking about how good this kid was, and then you know just splashed onto the scene and just made an immediate impact. I believe he was like in the top scoring during the playoffs. So
he actually led the Pens in scoring in that Washington series.
Yeah. So fun team.
Yep.
Malkin, obviously awesome.
Yeah. They've had that 1-2 punch of Crosby and Malkin forever. And that alone, those two alone should put them in contention just about every year, basically, right? So yeah. When you add the pieces, like you mentioned, of Gensel, and I think Brian Rust was starting to come up at that point as well.
Yeah.
They're scary.
Kessel was still on the team, and he was producing. I mean, I think he had like 24, 23 points during the playoffs. So
that was Connor Sherry's 53-point season.
There's another one. Yeah.
Justin Schultz had 51 points for that team.
Wild.
Yeah. They were putting up crazy numbers. The team was putting up crazy numbers.
Yeah.
All right, AJ.
Oh, yeah. I have to draft a team.
Yeah. It's kind of your job.
Right. My bad. All right. Well, I'm staying in Pittsburgh.
Going with the third, just so I don't get a Penguins team. That's a conspiracy against me here. Wow.
Your love of triangles, and we said not today, sir. So I'm going with the 08-09 Pens.
Okay.
This is almost entirely for me about their playoff route, because that was they'd never done it before. Okay. Their regular season scoring disparity was insane, by the way. If you go and you look at that roster, Evgeny Malkin had 113 points, Sidney Crosby had 103 points. Anybody want to guess what their third highest scorer, who was Jordan Staal, had that year?
I just looked it up, so
I haven't looked. Like 26.
49.
Oh, that's a lot, though. That's still
good. Yeah, it was a 54-point disparity between second and third.
Wow, their fourth scorer was Peter Sikora. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Miroslav Shatan, at age 34, was their sixth highest scorer with 36 points. That was not supposed to be a cup team. That was like, hey, we've got some old guys that were so – we've got the kids, obviously, one, two, three down the middle. These guys are great. These guys are going to be able to take us places someday. And then Chris Letang, obviously, as a 21-year-old. Like, that was straight up the kids did something special. Because you look at – even in that postseason, Evgeny Malkin, 36 points. Sidney Crosby, 31. Bill Guerin, 15 points as their next highest scorer. And then Ruslan Fedotenko and Sergei Gonchar. This was not supposed to be a cup team, but they did something special in the postseason. And their route, I love the route that they took, because it was 4-2 over Philadelphia, who is their main rival, like their blood rival. And then 4-3 over Washington, who, as we know, would go on to become like the generation-defining rivalry of Pittsburgh versus Washington.
Yep.
And then Carolina somehow got there and got dismissed. And then they had – and so that was 4-0. And then they got to the Cup Finals against the defending Cup champs in the Detroit Red Wings. And, like, that's – like, you have to go through – the champs.
Well,
and,
I mean, you have to remember the year before they had lost to the Red Wings in the Cup Finals as well.
And I just think that this is special stuff.
Yep.
And they get the Game 7, 4-3 win over them. That memorable moment with Marc-Andre Fleury coming across his crease at the end of Game 7 to stop Nick Lidstrom.
The bodyguard save, they call it.
Yeah. That's, I don't know, I just think special stuff.
Yep.
That team was just those guys at their best. It was their best players at their best, just better than everybody else. That, more than anything else, it was like, watch some superstars elevate everybody and do something awesome. So, that's my pick.
All right. I actually like my pick better than that pick. I'm okay with AJ taking the Penguins there. I am going in my second round pick with the 09-10 Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I couldn't take them.
You wouldn't do it?
Now that we're hearing about all these different things coming out that happened on that team, I wanted to stay away from it.
I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to separate the art from the artist a little bit here. The on-ice stuff, that team was insanely good.
Yep.
obviously Taze and Kane at the top, but they still had maybe not his prime, but extremely effective Patrick Sarp. Same for Marian Hossa, finally getting his first cup with this team after coming oh so close with those Pittsburgh and Detroit teams the last couple of years. And then down the line, you still have a very effective Brian Campbell alongside Seabrook. Duncan Keith, obviously, at the top of that list for their defensemen. And even Hjalmarsson was there as well. So the names on that team were about to be shot into the stratosphere. You even had Dustin Byfuglien playing forward for that team. So it was a pretty darn stacked Chicago team coming into that playoffs. And then they ended up beating Philly 4-2 in the finals. The playoffs themselves weren't actually that interesting for that team, but
like the worst series clinching goal ever.
Yeah, no one even knew it went in the net.
Yeah.
Kane is just like, YOLOing off celebrating.
Yeah. Patrick Kane, the only guy on earth who knows what's going on. And it's just like,
oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. The little anticlimactic.
He was like pointing at the net and like,
yep.
Nothing was going on.
Well, then his gear starts flying everywhere, and he's skating all the way down the ice, and his teammates are, like, slowly coming off the bench, like, yeah, we won!
Did we win? Right? Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad, the Blackhawks, because, like, their media push that year was great, too, with they had this, like, whole thing about the playoff beards, because, you know, obviously everyone was so young, they couldn't even really grow them, so... Yep. They had like these fake ZZ Top playoff beards that they'd come out with.
But yeah, that team was extremely, extremely good. The start of their dynasty, essentially. So that's my first pick. My next pick was going to be one of the Penguins teams. So I ended up a little bodied there, but. I'm gonna go a little bit different with this pick and take the following year, the 2010-2011 Boston Bruins. That is a team that, despite this being their only cup of this time frame, has always flirted with the cup, and you see that they've held together so much of their core for all of this time because this Stanley Cup winning team, it had Bergeron, it had Marchand, it had Krejci, who I guess is gone now. At the time, it had a Milan Lucic that was still extremely effective in the league. It still had Chara. It also had Tim Thomas, which is a whole nother conversation entirely. But that was
a very good Boston team. The weirdest career arc of anybody ever.
He's a weird dude, period.
Yeah, I mean, just getting away from his off-ice stuff, but like...
He played his best hockey in like his mid-30s.
Yeah, like was not in the NHL, just wasn't in the league, and then like shows up, gets a gig, and then is like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm the best goalie in the league for the next 5 years. Out of nowhere.
Well, he played that super unorthodox style, too. Like, it was borderline stand-up goalie in the late 2000s. Like,
it was so chaotic. It was
He now resides in Colorado Springs. You guys know that?
Living the dream down there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's from Colorado.
Yeah.
Wow, I forgot that Blake Wheeler was on that team.
Baby Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, very, very young. Sagan, too, who they ultimately end up trading him. But
yeah.
All right.
So our first non-cup team.
Yep.
All right. Well, to make a hypocrite out of myself here, I am taking a Blackhawks team. but... I am taking the 2012-2013 Blackhawks, the lockout shortened season Blackhawks, the ones who you remember started the season with all the regulation games.
Yep.
And their first regulation loss of the year was a 6-2 thumping at Pepsi Center.
I was there.
Yeah. I was at Brooklyn's because I went with a huge group of people and we couldn't get tickets for all of us. And so it was an all of us or none of us. And so we said none of us. And we went to Brooklyn's as a huge group and watched the game from Brooklyn's. It was fun.
Yeah. I had a guy from Chicago try to fight me for a hot second and then realize the mistake. So my sister had taken me to the game as a birthday present and we were there and she loves Landeskog and he had scored a really nice goal and she got up and was clapping and the guy behind us basically told her to sit down, B word, right? And like was yelling at her. So I just stood up. And then he got up and then he just sat back down and his friends were like, oh, aren't you going to fight this guy? Because he was in the row above me and he was still a good 6 inches shorter than me. And he was a tiny guy. Later on, he like apologized, bought us beers. It was awesome.
It worked out pretty well in the end, I guess.
But I've never been heckled so much at a home game either. Like that was that, you know, they were winning so many games. Yeah. Like they were bussing people around, like coming from Chicago. I was like, walking out of the stadium, a guy on a bus was just like, just chirping us for no reason, like, because they lost, right? And he's like, have fun at your track homes. This place sucks. And I was like, aren't you guys from Chicago?
I mean, yeah, that in that era, they would, some games, it would be 80% Chicago fans in what was then the Pepsi Center. So,
yep.
That was the team. They started 21-0-3 in a 48-game season.
Yep.
So pretty hard to cough that up. They were making the playoffs after that. But they had winning streaks of 6, 11, and 7 in a 48-game regular season. They went 36-7-5.
That's pretty ridiculous.
All of this just to say they were unbelievable. Yeah,
that's pushing the Lightning's numbers there.
Yeah, they actually have the highest points percentage of any team in the regular season since the lockout. So
that team is just stacked. Like I forgot, like looking at it.
Yeah, it's well, and then their playoff route. You know, they dispatched Minnesota pretty handily, and then they were down 3-1 to Detroit, and climbed all the way back, won that series, and then pretty handily won the conference finals against LA 4-1, and then a great finals against Boston.
Yeah. You love that arc when teams are falling out and then they just come back.
I mean, it's easy to, right? Like it's easy to be like, oh, well, I mean, you very rarely do you see a team like the 1920 Lightning where they're just like, well, we're just going to march to the cup and that's that. You know, at some point in the postseason, you usually get punched in the mouth. Yeah. And you got to come back from it. And this was a Chicago team that didn't really get punched in the mouth all regular season. Again, just 48 games, but down 3-1 against Detroit. And you remember like those teams hated each other.
Yeah.
And they climbed all the way back. And yeah, as Rudo said, separating art from artist here.
Yep. All right, Blaze, finish off the third round here for us.
Oh, well, speaking of arcs that are down and out and then coming back to win the whole enchilada, I'm going to go with the 19 Blues. So 18-19 Blues.
Blaze is not winning this draft.
Why? Because they're in our division? Like, think about like how awesome that was for their fan base, right? And the team itself.
For the fan base, couldn't be happier. That team is not very good.
If it wasn't for it being the Blues, its story and the whole Play Gloria thing, probably would have been a lot more fun for me. But as it was like crawling through a field of broken glass.
Yeah, but like a team halfway through the year is dead last in the league. Like
most very vindicating, like, all right, for me at the time, who had talked a lot of shit about them.
hey, trust me, I have buddies that are like huge Blues fans. So I was like giving it to them. It did not end well. But like,
yeah,
crazy. Like when you're done and out, like most of those teams just pack up or like, okay, next year, we're coming next year. They get a rookie goalie that starts halfway through the year and goes on a huge winning streak after.
I believe he was their fourth string goaltender.
Yeah. They had tried Husso and then they tried somebody else.
No, they hadn't tried Husso. Because Husso's NHL.
They gave Husso a couple games.
Well, Billy Husso's NHL debut was the 8-1 beatdown in game two of the 8-0 beatdown in game two of this last season. that poor kid. No, that was they had Jake Allen, and Jake Allen did not do very well, and they had Chad Johnson as their backup, and Chad Johnson was like, he'd been like a 900 goaltender for a couple of years. Yeah. And then it was Husso got hurt.
Okay.
And that was why he couldn't get the call up. And then Binnington was the next guy that they had. And like this is why it's, you just don't know what the hell is going on with goaltenders, because this was a team that looked at its own guy who had more information on its own draft pick than anybody else. And it was like, yeah, this is our fourth guy.
Yeah, well,
and even won them a Stanley Cup.
I think what's going to cost Blaze with this pick is we've had the last 2 years of Jordan Binnington for everyone to go, oh,
yeah,
that was not Jordan Binnington at all in those playoffs, was it? This is not who he really is.
In like halfway through the season, I think his first game was a shutout as well. Like, you know, it was just like destined to be, and then they went on some good rolls there at the halfway point.
I mean, no doubt he was unbelievably on fire.
He got heart votes.
Yeah. They went 30-10-5 for the second half of the season.
That's wild.
Yeah. His goaltend, his actually, like, his play in the postseason was good.
All right.
We talk about it like it was insane, but it was actually, like, it was a good run, but then you start to dig into the numbers a little bit, and it's like, eh. His play during the regular season was unbelievable. It was so goddamn good.
All right. Well, if you want to forget about that Blues team as much as I do, Solace Meds has the tools to help you do that. So hit up Solace Meds. They have 4 locations in Colorado, 1 up in Fort Collins, Wheat Ridge, 1 in Denver off Broadway, and 1 just a couple blocks from the DNVR bar as well. You get 20% off anytime you use the DNVR20 code, and they also have various in-store deals that you can look at ranging from 15 to 25% off. I prefer to just use the code online at solacemeds.com, solacemeds.com. Get my stuff checked out for pickup. Drive by, pick up what I need, and get out of there quick and easy with the cannabis products that I want. So super easy. Check out Solace Meds and then order yourself some Hassle Cattle Company as well. Get yourself some delicious meat. Can't go wrong. As long as you don't do it well done, all right? Don't do your meat well done. That's all I'm saying. But ugh. Hassle Cattle
Every time you go out with somebody and like they order a steak or a burger and they're like, how would you like that cooked? It's always like judgment time.
Yep.
Like, all right, what's the answer to this? Is it well done? Are you a monster? Is this friendship about to end?
That scene from King of the Hill where Bobby asks Hank what to do if their neighbors ask for their steak well done, and Hank just goes, you ask them calmly but firmly to leave.
My wife and her family are well done people.
It's unreal.
Like the first time I went there, I was just like, we had steaks and I was like, what is this? Like, this is destroyed. And like, they would tease me about it. Like I was the weirdo, like, right? Like, like they're like, oh, what? So you just want us to like, do you want us to serve it to you now? Like it hasn't been cooked. And I was like, well,
that's yeah, better than just kinda
tarring the crap out of it.
So use that DNVR10 code to get 10% off with Hassle Cattle Company. Get your delicious meats. Don't overcook them. And then go on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that DNVR code. When you sign up for a new account right now, you can get $200 for betting $1. You don't even have to win the bet, and they will give you $200 when you bet $1 on any of the upcoming college football opening weekend stuff on the first weekend of September, I believe. Get on that. You have to use the DNVR code for a new account, and then you have $200 to play with. I don't care what you bet the $200 on. You can bet that on anything from hockey, baseball, football, basketball, table tennis, cycling, esports, whatever you're feeling. Spend that how you want to think you can make the most amount of money out of DraftKings. So jump on it today. Download their DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's the best sportsbook app out there. They also, I saw their, they were just released their new marketplace too, where you can trade NFTs, stuff like that. So if Bitcoin and cryptos are your kind of thing, DraftKings even has you covered on that end of stuff as well. AJ shaking his head at that one.
just an unrelated thing.
I know. Mm-hmm. D-Line and Blaze have developed a few, at least
one
images for some NFTs. NFT, yeah,
it's called Crypto Poop. If you're if you want to go look for it, go look for it. It's great.
So there you go. For your DraftKings Sportsbook specials, you must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, let's get into the third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Apparently the cryptos are available on OpenSea, according to our producer, Kale. So Blaze, finish off your fourth round here.
Oh, this one's so hard because like we basically had all the same picks. So like my list is gone now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like this is kind of a toss up. I was going to say, what was it, like the 14 Kings, but I'm going to go with the 21 Tampa Bay Lightning because they were a juggernaut. Just rolled through everybody. I mean, everyone's it's fresh in the mind.
Whoa. Rolled through everybody. Yeah. They had a 1-0 game 7 win against the Islanders. Sir. Rolled through everybody.
Oh, they rolled through them.
Just take it down a notch, big shifter.
Way, that was a great series.
Yeah, it was.
So it was fun to watch. AJ, I would have rather had the Islanders win that one, but
It was an interesting juxtaposition, I guess, because the 1920 year was Tampa, everyone wondering, can they finally get over the hump? And then immediately in 2021, it was, all right, they're the team everyone's gunning for now. They're the big dogs.
Well, and then you throw in the LTIR nonsense, and they became hockey's villain really fast.
Easy to hate, for sure.
Which is awesome that they just leaned into it, too, like making those shirts. Like, they don't care. Like, it's like, cool, they're going to just troll everybody now.
That's exactly what you should do.
Yeah.
We've seen being apologetic for your crimes is not the way to go about it. Denying them that they ever happened and then making fun of the people who don't like you, that's what works. I don't know why that is, but that's what works.
They made for a very boring Stanley Cup though as well. That sucked. So
I blame Montreal.
I sat through it. I blame Vegas. They shit the bed.
True. It's Vegas' fault for not beating.
It should have been
meeting.
Tampa Bay in Vegas, and it should have been interesting.
That's fair.
So all right, now I have a very difficult moral quandary because there's an obvious team. I don't want to pick another Stanley Cup team. I don't really like any of the other Stanley Cup teams that much. Do I hate myself that much? 10 years ago, yeah. This would have been all Red Wings teams. I want to pick a great regular season team. I want to pick an Islanders team because they've been really fun lately. Instead, for my last pick, I'm going to pick the team that I've had the most fun watching in the last several years of just being a hockey fan in general. So I'm taking the 2021 Avs.
Nice.
They were great, and I loved watching them every day.
I flirted with taking them too.
They were a ton of fun to watch, and I will always love this last year's team just how much I enjoyed watching them every day a little bit differently. They were a lot of fun. They were so talented top to bottom. Their flame out in the second round is always going to hurt a little more because it was such a disappointment.
Yeah. Well, and it was the fall from grace was immediate. They lost four straight games after going up 2-0 in that series.
You win your first six playoff games and then lose four in a row.
They hadn't lost three games in a row yet that year, I believe, or maybe once.
It was coming off the COVID break. It was their only three-game losing streak. They hadn't lost four.
They'd never lost four in a row,
And especially after that Blues series, he's not there just going
to roll. To be honest, the way that it happened, like, it gets overstated. Oh, Vegas just rolled the Avs. And it's like, that's not how it, like, Vegas dominated a couple of games in the middle. The Avs dominated game one, obviously. But game five, Colorado outplayed Vegas. In Denver, they outplayed them, and they got goaltendered. And this is my personal opinion here, but I think that's a big reason why Philip Grubauer's in Seattle right now.
Well, I, to your original point, even in game three, where Vegas dominated the game, the Avs had a lead with 6 minutes left in that hockey game.
Yep.
And they blew it, obviously. But don't trust the revisionist history of how that series went down. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. The Avs got dominated in that series is a load of horse shit.
Okay.
Anyway, they were my pick. They were my pick because I loved watching them every day, and I wish I could have been in the locker room to chat with those guys.
I agree.
Would have been very nice. I have the last pick in this draft, and I'm going to pick a team that I do not like, but they were very, very, very good, and that is the 06-07 Anaheim Ducks. That team... First of all, at the top of it, had Teemu Selanne finally getting his cup. And then down the line, a bunch of crazy good players. Scott Niedermeyer on defense. A 21-year-old Ryan Getzlaf and Corey Perry. That team had a lot of talent on it, especially on the top end. So it's hard to argue with.
It's still crazy to me that, like, that was it for them.
Yeah, that was all they got.
The Getzlaf Perry Ducks, they get talked about and, like, mythologized in such a way. But it's like, without Niedermeyer and Selanne, they never did a damn thing.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they had Chris Pronger, too. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then Jaguar in net. But, yeah, that team had a lot of things going for it. We'll put it that way. They were... In a lot of ways, it really felt like they were one of the last guard of the dead puck era to finally, like, and I say that, and Selanne had like 95 points that year, but but they had that a bunch of big dudes who kind of ran around and started shit kind of mantra to the way that they played hockey. And you haven't really seen a team, I guess maybe the Kings would be the closest thing to that after them.
Brian Burke in the corner, furiously masturbating to their success.
Basically, yeah. But kind of one that stood out as a little bit different in the post-lockout era to me. And obviously, everyone loves to hate Getzlaf and Perry and even Pronger, but those dudes were unbelievably talented hockey players as well.
Pronger, so. I mean, Pronger was just, success stalked him.
Yep.
That season, too, they went on some large win streaks throughout the year as well. Like, some big win streaks, I remember that.
Yeah. To AJ's point, it felt like a team that should have won a whole lot more than they did.
They had, like, four different five-game winning streaks that year.
Yep.
Jesus.
That was right after the rebrand, too, which was awful, by the way.
Agreed.
So bad.
Yeah. Just corporate.
But, hey, they won a cup, so
yeah.
Maybe it wasn't so bad in the end. That's all I got. Any final thoughts? Any honorable mentions that didn't make this list for you guys?
Yeah, the 18-19 Lightning. I totally expected them to get picked.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought I was not going to have to pick between them and this year's Avalanche team. I thought they'd be gone. But instead, we have like the fucking Bruins and the Blues getting taken. Like, what in the world? That was an unbelievable team. That 18-19 Lightning, they were awesome. And again, like it was a great player at the height of his powers doing something awesome. And then, you know, again, part of the, like, we talk, oh, they got swept, but you remember, like, they, like, Victor Hedman was seriously compromised in that series. He was like a game time decision all four games and was clearly at like 30% capacity in those games. And it was just, you know, That combined with, like, do you guys remember the lineup that Columbus team rolled out?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Like that Blue Jackets team might have, like, snuck into the postseason with a 98-point year.
Well, they went all the way in at the deadline, too.
So yeah. But, like... Like, that team in the postseason, they had Artemi Panarin, Matt Duchene, and then obviously all their, you know, PLD and Josh Anderson and all their cats. And, like, Bobrovsky was still good before he had just decided he was done trying. Like, Ryan DeZingle was a quality depth guy when he got picked up. Bjorkstrand was in Werenski and Jones, Atkinson, like those guys were all still like the good versions of themselves. Yeah. You know, like David Savard was like just a guy on that defense. Like that team was so good by the end of the year. That it, like, we talk about it like, oh, well, then they got swept by Columbus. Nah! And then you go look at that Columbus team and the Columbus team was super talented.
I had them written down, the 19 Blue Jackets, but it's hard to, when they don't win the cup, to be like, yeah, they're going to make that list.
Yeah, I went with the true homer pick, and it's funny because somebody will see that and be like, classic AJ. He runs the I Love the Avalanche Facebook page.
I'm feeling a little bit salty that you got mad about my Canada pick now that you're taking the homer pick in this draft.
Yeah, and really, it's not it was entirely about I just loved watching that team play.
Yeah,
that's all it was. And in the last round of this draft, I'm happy taking it. It was either them or it was the 2021 Islanders, because that team, their playoff run was so much fun. Everybody hated them. Everybody was like, oh, who wants to watch an Isles game? And it was like team fans of people who like to watch their team fucking win games. So anyway, the Isles would have totally smoked the Habs in the cup finals.
I think just about anyone that wasn't Vegas would have smoked the Habs in the finals from not the Canadian division.
I liked Z's theory that she gave me this morning, that Vegas was just tired from the F series. I hadn't thought about it, but I was like, I'll take that.
That was their Stanley Cup.
I do have more thoughts on that series, but I just need to
maybe for another day. Yeah,
I just need to move away from it.
All right, I guess that's gonna wrap it up for this snake draft. So thank you everyone for watching, listening, however you consume the pod. I think we have one more. I don't know if it'll be a snake draft or some fun show coming for you on Wednesday. Should be fun, and then we're actually back to live shows on Thursday and Friday. So looking forward to seeing you all live, but I hope chat was popping for this one as well. We are out of here. Be sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That does a ton for us, especially with these videos. When on a very rare occasion we don't do a live show, it'll keep you up to date. But we will talk to you all, at least sort of, tomorrow.